Welcome back to the program. A beautiful weekend. You're listening to Outdoor Journal Radio Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Ange. I was struggling with that. Did you notice?
I didn't come through? I wasn't going to say anything.
Oh, wow. I'm Angela Viola. He is Michael Moring and Derek Brandao at Command Central at The Fan, keeping us honest today. Beautiful weekend. Great weekend to be in the outdoors. Great weekend to experience, the real beauty of this country. And that is our wild places. And whether it's the forest and the lakes and waterways and just sheer wilderness. In fact, Canada's forests cover, this is a remarkable number, 347 million hectares of land are covered by forest in this country. Now, you know, that might not like mean a whole bunch to most people who don't know what a hectare looks like, but I know a thing or two about hectares. And let me tell you, 347 million of them, that's a good chunk. That's a good chunk of hectares. Anyways, that's almost 9% of the world's total forest right here in Canada. And it's something that we take, I think, anyways, for granted most days that we get up and look in the mirror. The Canadian Forest Service is the national and international voice of Canada's forest sector, part of Natural Resources Canada, a federal government department. The Canadian Forest Service provides scientific research and policy expertise on national forest sector issues, ensuring that the forest is sustainable and healthy for all of us to enjoy. And we take that for granted because we don't even realize there's people out there doing this stuff. So today we're going to change that. We're going to make us all aware of it. Richard Carr, he is a fire research analyst in Edmonton, Alberta, working for the Canadian Forest Service. He's going to tell us, among other things, this is interesting, the projection on fires that we are apt to have here in Ontario. I'm talking forest fires. He's going to give us a projection from all the way from Alberta. I find that fascinating. Good morning, Richard. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. And yourselves? Hope everybody's doing all right.
Well, we're coping. We're trying to get through this mess for sure. Yeah, it's an interesting subject as it pertains to your field, obviously. The biggest question comes to mind. First of all, when is fire season traditionally in this neck of the woods? When do we start worrying about natural forest fires?
I guess, depending on the region of the country, the peak of the fire season may differ a little bit. And for example, Alberta is well known for spring fire activity, so, it might start in April and in May and then taper off a little bit after that. On the other hand, normal fire season in British Columbia may be a bit later in the summer and, might start in July and, run through August or part of September. I think for the most part in Ontario, it's it's a big province, so it can change a little bit as you go from east to west or vice versa. I think the west may be a bit more susceptible to fire, and things may start out there a little bit earlier. We can get some spring fires there, but I think the bulk of the activity is still through the summer when we get most of the lightning activity.
Right. So my question, the reason I ask that is because, obviously with this pandemic that's going on, that adds a whole other layer to this onion called forest fires, because how do you assemble the crews and the number of people that it generally takes to get a fire of any size under control? Like, just the thought of doing that during this quarantine period seems kind of bizarre, but I guess those are all things that are being looked at right now as we speak, probably, as to how they're going to assemble and house all these people.
Certainly, Canadian Forest Service doesn't actually have any active role in fire suppression. We provide fire science and fire weather forecasts and things like that. It's the provinces mainly that assemble the crews. We do have a center, Canadian Interagency Forest Fire Center, which is located in Winnipeg, Manitoba. And, it's a small place, but they're responsible for all of the movement of crews and equipment back and forth between provinces. So if one province gets very busy, they might be able to borrow resources from another province. And if the country gets very busy, then we start tapping into resources from other countries as well. So we have agreements with about half a dozen countries, United States, Australia, New Zealand, Mexico, South Africa, and there's a few others being worked on. So there's a method for getting resources when we need it. Now, in a year like this with the COVID-19, from what I understand, the provinces have spaced out their training a little bit more, so they can't handle large groups like they normally would. So they're doing training in smaller groups. Therefore, it takes a bit longer. And I think that might vary between provinces, and really to get more information on that, you'd have to talk to the provincial people and see exactly what they're doing.
Okay. All right, we can do that. A question for you, Richard. A question for you, and maybe you can set us straight on this. If we were to take forest fires in general in Canada, what percentage of them would we allocate to, human intervention with fire and stuff versus natural causes?
Okay, so you're just talking about how they start. Is that correct?
That's right. Yes.
Yep. Yeah, once again, that varies a lot across the country, but if you look at Canada as a whole, it's really close to 50% human-caused and 50% natural-caused.
Wow. Okay.
But now, here's where the big difference lies, though. If you go out into the Atlantic provinces, the natural-caused fires are, probably around 5%, and human-caused fires about 95%. So, heavily weighted on the human side there. If you go into the more remote areas of the Northwest, northern British Columbia area, the territories, it's probably more like 60% caused by lightning, natural causes, and 40% caused by humans. So it does vary a lot across the country. But if you look at the country as a whole, it's really close to half each way.
What do you attribute that huge disparity on the East Coast? Like 95.5? 95% yep. Human?
Yeah, a lot of it depends on, how much rain you get with lightning. In the West, you can quite often get small thunder showers that, they pop up, they give a lightning strike or two. Maybe not much rain comes along with them, and therefore you might get some fires going. So, okay. That's one factor. In the East, you tend to get a lot more rain with the lightning events. But also the type of forest, differs across the country too. And right. Some forests are a lot more receptive to a lightning strike. For example, good evergreen type forest that is generally fairly dry would probably be much more receptive to a lightning strike.
Right.
If you get a broadleaf forest, once you get the leaves out, they don't burn quite as readily, and the litter layer, what falls on the forest floor underneath there, is quite a bit different as well. So, it might not start burning quite as easily.
Mm-hmm. Do campfires play a big role in this, or are there a small insignificant part?
Certainly there's a number of human-caused fires that spring from campfires that are unattended, or maybe they're they just get out of hand and blow into the forest, and you get some embers going, and a good strong wind and dry conditions, you can get fires going. So, human-caused fires are, there's quite a few different actual causes within the human-caused fire category, but, campfires certainly form part of that set.
Wow. Okay, it's fascinating. I find the whole thing fascinating. I do a lot of traveling through the backcountry, and you see remnants of fires that ravaged areas, and you always wonder, I wonder how that one got started. And for the most part, I think lightning, certainly in northern Ontario, lightning is a huge factor, plays a major role in that. But, humans, we do make mistakes. And that's why I asked you about the campfire thing.
Yeah, we make mistakes. We also have, more or less accidental starts as well. We get things like sparks from trains that can set off fires. You might get some random accidents, vehicle accidents and other things that can start a fire.
Yeah,
and there's also, things like recreational vehicles in dry grass can start fires as well. We get a hot engine that maybe sits in a place for few seconds or a minute or so and can heat up grass that, you know, can start fires. So wow. quite a range of human-caused fire starts. Yeah.
For sure. This year we need to be extra careful, extra vigilant when we do finally get out and do all those wonderful things that we take for granted. I think one of the things we can't take for granted anymore is the safety of our wild spaces and, more importantly, the forest. So hopefully everybody will be a little extra cautious this year. Richard, thank you very much for joining us. Really appreciate you filling us in.
Oh, certainly. Very welcome.
Thank you. Richard Carr, Fire Research Analysis, Northern Forestry Center, Edmonton, Alberta, Canadian Forest Services, Natural Resources Canada.